It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio with a live guest. We're going to poke and prod and get some great information out of them. Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm Doug Gefeller, your host. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation. And I've been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our guest for today is Ray Ermeer, Director of Interior Architecture for Withy Malcolm Architects, who are located in the South Bay area of Los Angeles. Withy Malcolm specializes in projects that are integral to the community, including high-density, multifamily, urban infill, mixed-use, commercial office, research and development projects, and interior architecture. And their tagline is, it's more about work. It's about more than work. It's the opportunity to make a difference for yourself, your coworkers, and your community. Well, Ray brings 30-plus years of experience to his role as director of Withy Malcolm's newly expanded interior studio. Having worked in design, construction, and corporate real estate, he understands the varied needs of clients from the creative, technology, hospitality, professional, financial, and corporate sectors, as well as landlords and property and facility managers. His in-depth knowledge of the market and his reputation for successful project delivery is a positive match for Withy Malcolm's client-centric approach and can-do culture. Ray's exceptional range of experience in commercial interiors, both as a client and service provider, give him special insight into the evolving requirements of the contemporary workplace. He has a Bachelor of Architecture from Illinois Institute of Technology and is a member of the IIDA. And his topic for today is workplace transformations, and whether it's a reflection of corporate culture, evolving demographics, new technologies, or imaginative design trends, the bottom line is today's office is not your dad's office. Welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show, Ray.
Well, thank you for having me, Doug, and appreciate the opportunity to really dive into and start talking about kind of the workplace transformation, since this is something that we have been addressing really over the last 10 years.
And is it 10 years? Has the change really been in the last 10 years more significant than previously?
Absolutely. I think, having been in this industry, as you'd mentioned, over the 30 years, I think in this day and age, it's all about, some recent articles about empowering employees to choose their space. It's no longer where the corporate real estate director or vice president would dictate kind of the corporate objectives and workplace standards, which really become much more engaging in allowing the employees to really have input in their workplace. I recall days when I started in this business, when we would meet with the corporate real estate or the head of real estate, and he would provide us with a program of requirements, and we would follow that and, work within those constraints and budget. And then as the project was being constructed, we would still meet with kind of the head of the real estate department. And once the facility was completed and all of the users would come into play, they would go, why the heck was it designed this way? How come we didn't have input? And I think, and that's something that's really, really, really changed as of late. It's all about how do we create an environment that promotes a sense of community and the idea of, retention of the associates that end up working within the space.
You know, it wasn't too long ago that this kind of a conversation was limited that we would be probably talking about a handful of firms. We'd talk about Google and their environment. We'd talk about Apple and their campus environment. And it was pretty much written off as a sort of fad by the big companies that were dealing with the high tech stuff. But what I'm getting a sense of from you now is this is pervasive in the whole office workspace economy.
And that is absolutely correct. As you'd mentioned, you know, it kind of, we looked at the technology companies, how they were driving the workplace environment. But it's really, it's come down to even firms with, you know, that have 20 headcount. It's really relevant and important that you create an environment that really promotes the well-being of the employees. It gives them areas to focus, areas to collaborate, and that's really what we're seeing. And the trend, you know, what we're hearing with latest buzzwords are activity-based environment or workplace. I mean, what does it really come down to? It's to provide an environment where the employees can either do focus work if they need to focus, collaborate and create a sense of community and culture when they kind of want to hang out. Because at the end of the day, when you look at the expense that any organization, it's really, it starts with the real estate cost, and then your for the headcount and the employees that you have.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Most of the statistics that I've read talk about the fact that, you know, we have a vast percentage of our work staff that's unengaged, and the numbers get kind of shaking. You know, it goes only 15% are truly engaged, 30% are only partially engaged, and, you know, 20% are deliberately trying to sabotage you. You know, those kind of scary numbers.
Right.
And it sort of ties all of that to, and the reason for all of this is because they don't feel loved by their supervisor. But you're talking about maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe it has more to do with the environment.
Well, I think it's both, because, and I'm just giving you a little quote here, from a recent study that was conducted by Jones Lang LaSalle, one of the premier global real estate advisors. What they're finding is that even the small things count for employees today. You know, when I worked at the on the corporate side of real estate, you know, with a big technology organization, it was all about, oh, we got to have, you know, the big cafeterias, the gyms. But really what JLL has found is that nearly half of the employees surveyed, they prefer a dedicated space in their office to recharge their mental and physical batteries, such as focus rooms. So it's, you know, the trend is really more to really create that sense of community, culture, and wellness.
Well, let me play with you here a little bit.
Absolutely.
Focus room? What in the world is a focus room?
Well, a focus room is usually a room that could be 10 by 12, about 120 square feet. And that's where you can do concentrated work, because in today's office environment, everybody has the benching, the open office, the sit stand desks, and at times when you do want to need to focus on something that you have to concentrate on, and even for myself, I sit in an open office environment, but at times when I really need to get something done, I need to go find a space that's quiet, I can concentrate, and instead of taking an hour and a half to get something done, I can probably get it done in 30 minutes by just being focused.
You know, it'd be interesting to get your take. I mean, as you know, recently Apple started moving into their new big super building.
Yes.
And I've seen some of the articles and photos on it. You know, just beautiful open space, desks that go up and down. I mean, whatever height you're at, if your height's changing daily, it'll accommodate you. I mean, but then recently I've seen some articles that said, well, some of the people aren't too happy with that.
And that's exactly, I've read some of those same comments and articles. And again, it's, you know, within a large organization, like Apple, now that they're kind of in that flying saucer building.
Yeah.
Again, they did not pull everybody. And I think if you look at the different functions that the associates within the organization perform, you cannot find one solution to fit all. And I think where the issues and the pushback is coming from are certain groups that maybe they are not the R&D people. Maybe they do more focus work or where they're doing in the finance department. You know, they're not there to collaborate. They're there to crank the numbers and, you know, populate spreadsheets. So to sit in a much more open environment to them is not work conducive.
And how much of this is going to be written off as a perk, you know, like a bigger office is a perk. It isn't really what you need. It isn't necessary to do your work. Is this kind of design attention just another perk that we're pampering people?
Well, I think, and I look back maybe, I think when this first, like maybe about 15 years ago, Steelcase, they are a large furniture manufacturer.
Sure.
They've been around for many years, and they promoted kind of an office culture where the CEO was actually out in the open. So the whole notion of the hierarchical design that, you know, we've been, you know, promoting for, you know, the last, ever since I've been doing this, is really something that goes away. Because I think even when I joined with the Malcolm, they offered me an office. And I said, well, that's great, but I want to be out with my team. And I think being out with my team, it fosters really clear communication, transparency. We can respond to issues. I can overhear conversations and say, well, you know, let's sit down and figure out, you know, what is the right approach to solve this problem. So I think the whole notion of, you know, as a director, I should have an office. You know, I am of the mindset that, you know, everybody should be out together so that you can, you know, in today's market, we have to respond so quickly to resolve issues. It's no longer, I remember those days when, you know, before the computer, before email, you would send a letter, you know, to your client or give them a phone call. And in today's market, you know, I get texts from my clients and I have to respond immediately. So again, it's things really have changed over time. And I think definitely, you know, for the better, absolutely. And I think design, office design will continue to evolve. And I think we're, you know, looking at the future. I think what we'll be seeing is really office environments that are, you know, where we try to reach and seek input from all of the stakeholders. I'm currently working on a proposal for a financial institution. And when I toured their office about a month ago, it was definitely, you know, kind of the old school of, you know, financial institution of laying out their space. And, you know, we're putting the proposal together next month. But we're going to, what I did tell the prospective client, that what we would like to do is meet with every department head. So that we can really truly understand kind of the environment, how they operate, because one of the spaces that was probably renovated about a year ago, apparently that conversation didn't happen. And yes, the space looks very creative, open, but again, the employees and the team that's in that particular space are really not happy.
I mean, I want to, a couple of points you made there. One, when you talked about hierarchical, I mean, we did design offices to sort of, you could walk in and you could tell what the person's level in the corporate structure was by their office.
Correct.
I can remember starting out, I was working in downtown L.A. Actually, it was for Union Oil Company, and I was in their corporate division. And I can remember one day watching my boss's office as the workmen came with their screwdrivers and took the door off of his office and took the door away and the plant out of his office because his title had changed and he no longer deserved a door or a plant based on his title. Had nothing to do with what he needed to work. You know, the fact that he was supervising a bunch of people, critical, confidential information that should be talked about behind a closed door, never entered into the criteria. You know, and that's what I hear you saying, is that's one of the major changes here.
Absolutely. No, and I remember those days too. And you know, when there was such a hierarchical structure within an organization, imagine the cost from a real estate perspective that the organization would have to expend on an annual basis just to, you know, enlarge or, you know, change the office size just because the title of the person changed. And, you know, just to give you a little case study, I went through this effort with a large technology company back in the late 90s. It was a complete transformation of their R&D population. At that particular time, the organization had about 56,000 headcount around the globe. Their annual or churn cost that they had identified to when some individual would be changed or, you know, would be promoted, they were expending well over $10,000 a headcount, and they would churn about 20,000 headcount a year. Wow. You do the math.
Wow.
So what we were challenged with was to develop a interior architectural solution that would significantly reduce their churn expense. And based on the solution that we developed and implemented, their churn cost went from 10,000 to about 2,000 a headcount. So that was a significant savings from an operational perspective. But obviously, the upfront capital expenditure was significant, but it was justified by the fact that, you know, the operational costs went, you know, were reduced by 60%.
Well, okay. So, you know, I can see the case being made that a lot of money was wasted in redesigning offices just to meet the status title kind of design criteria. But, you know, if we're talking about designing offices to fit the needs of specific workers, which is where I think I hear you going with this, how do you deal with the fact that most people, what they're doing today probably won't be what they're doing next year? I mean, jobs are no longer, you don't hire somebody in, they do the same thing for the next 20 years. Everything changes so rapidly. It seems to me it would be a little difficult to design space to fit these five people in this department's needs, and then all of a sudden 3 months later we find, well, they don't need a whole lot of working together. They need more focus time. They need more time alone, or they need to work with a different group. How do you deal with that in your designs?
Well, I think, you know, when it's a very, very appropriate and poignant question, because I think within any organization there are still certain functions that really, truly haven't changed over time. Now, when you are in more of a management role, I mean, really, I don't really need to be in the office. I have my mobile. I have access to, that's how I communicate, access to emails. And even with the cloud, you know, the whole concept now is that there's documentation. And even from the type of work that we do is in either CAD or Revit, that those documents can actually live in a cloud. So there's really no need, you know, to even be in an office. But the unfortunate part with that whole concept, and remember when the whole idea came up, oh, we're in a home office. Well, you know, a lot of corporations thought that's a great idea. We're going to save in real estate. Well, they still had to provide, you know, even if you're at that time doing a home office, there was still a capital expenditure that was required because you got to give the person a desk. You got to provide, you know, internet connectivity because at that time it was kind of, you know, starting in the early phases of having, you know, data and internet connectivity in your house. So what they started to realize, okay, so now I've reduced my square footage in the office, but now I have an expense in my home office. And at the end of the day, it's still all about the people that work in an organization. You have to be able to, you know, to get together, communicate, interact, and the whole idea, because that's what, you know, there were studies that were done where people that were actually working from home felt really became isolated. They may come into the office, you know, once a month. They didn't know, you know, who used to be, you know, on their team. They would, people would be hired. People would, you know, leave. So that's why I think, you know, the notion of everybody coming back and having a space within the office environment is something that's a trend that's really coming back.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to take a commercial break in a minute. When we come back, I want to talk. You had mentioned before we went on air about five trends that you see coming, and I want,
absolutely,
you
no,
can,
love to
give
to,
us some detail.
Yeah.
But let's go to a commercial. And we're back from commercial here, and we're talking with Ray Ermer of Withy Malcolm Architects, and he's in charge of their interior design studio. Ray, you've been basically talking about the need to design space to fit the needs of the specific work that the employees are doing.
That is correct.
That it in a nutshell?
That is in a nutshell. But again, let me just kind of, you know, leave some thoughts as we kind of go through the conversation. Because really when we look at an office environment, there's really currently there's five trends that are happening. Flexibility is something that you hear a lot. And, you know, the flexibility can mean anything from an open office environment where you have flexible, you know, like from earlier, a sit-stand desk, or where it's so universal that actually teams can move around without feeling that they are, you know, coming from one floor that was designed one way and now going onto another floor that was designed in a different way. So that's the idea of flexibility. Professional development is a big, big, big issue in today's office environment. It's how do we, you know, when you look at, when you hire somebody new, I think the training can take 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, before, depending on the job, yeah, sure.
And, longer. You know, and that's a significant investment. So after you've done that, you want to be able to retain that particular employee and not have them leave 3 years later to go to another firm that may have a, you know, better designed environment. Another item that is relevant today is sense of community. Everybody wants to feel like they belong and that there is a lot of collaboration within the organization. That brings you to culture. Each organization that I've worked with over the years, they all have a different culture. And as a design professional, I think for us, it's very relevant and important that we understand the culture of our clients. I'm currently working with the Beach City Health District in Redondo Beach. They are embarking on an upgrade, and they have, you know, a big piece of land and property that they want to further develop to provide for a healthy campus living. And I've been attending meetings just so that I fully comprehend their culture. And that's really important because from a design profession, I mean, we can do wonderful designs, but if we don't understand the culture of a company, we're not helping them, you know, helping them towards the future. And then, you know, as of late, wellness is also something that has been become much more to the forefront, wellness of the space, wellness for the people. So those are kind of the five trends that are, you know, currently on the design communities, you know, kind of on our radar screen.
You know, let me give you Doug Gefeller's five trends as a on-site manager. Now, this goes back a while.
Right.
The issues were not culture. They were not flexibility. They were not professional development. The issues were the guy's radio down the hall, the air conditioning that isn't balanced, the fact that the lighting isn't right. I mean, they were pretty basic kinds of things that, you know, I'm suffering from carpal tunnel because of the height of my lousy chair that you guys bought a cheap chair and it isn't comfortable, it doesn't fit my frame. Have these things gone away, or are we still dealing with the same things and using different words?
I think some of the issues have gone away, but still, you know, it just those are not really at the forefront anymore. But you're right; we still have to deal with those types of, you know, if you are the facilities manager, those are daily issues that you will have to contend with, because, you know, in general, you know, people, you know, it's a lot easier to complain than to say, oh, you know, you know, you're doing a great job. So, no, absolutely. And I think that's again why with Apple, the open office environment, there's pushback.
Sure.
You know, and again, for those particular groups, it just wasn't working, even though that the corporate culture mandates open office, collaborative environment, you know, so there's always, you know, the naysayers, unfortunately.
You know, the interesting thing that I sort of picked up on here is if I was looking to hire you to design some office space for me or redesign, it doesn't make any difference. Before listening to you, I would have assumed that you'd come in and show me a bunch of pretty pictures of designs that you've done in the past. What I'm sort of hearing you say is no, you would come in and want to interview the people that are going to populate the office space before you can tell me what kind of designs you're going to be recommending and what it would look like. Is that?
That's true. And that's something that over the last maybe 5 years, if not 10 years, it's really, you know, what we've, you know, referred to it as kind of a visioning session where we really want to meet with the stakeholders, depending on how many, you know, departments exist within the organization. But it's really to get their input and what's important to them so that we can then report back to, you know, the group that is responsible for the real estate, and typically that falls under the CFO, so it's on the, you know, on the financial side of the organization. But it's really even before we show any design, we really need to understand how, you know, the organization is structured and how the departments function. And, you know, again, I've done the professional side, the financial side, the technology side, you know, each industry has different mindset. And I think that's one of the things that is really important, and that what we pride ourselves in is that we try to understand and learn who we are actually dealing with.
You know, you're making it really difficult for me here. I was hoping that I could ask you, and you're going to say, the newest and latest thing is it's got to be a desk that goes up and down, revolves in a circle. I mean, hovers over the bosses. You know, are there any trends that you can talk about that are just sort of more general?
It's not in today's world. It you know, again, it used to be where you could really predict, but things are changing so rapidly, especially with technology, and, you know, what we're designing today, as you said earlier, you know, may change in 6 months from now. So there's really, I can't look in a in my crystal bowl and say, or crystal ball and say, okay, this is, you know, this is relevant today and that's going to be relevant 6 months from now. No, it everything changes so rapidly.
What is the biggest impact that technology is having on the design of office spaces?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see here. Let me look-see here for a minute. Well, the technology is really, like I said earlier, I mean, I truly don't have to be in the office. I could, you know, work off my cell or laptop or iPad. But that just doesn't, you know, then I'm not connecting with the people that I support and that work within our organization. Did I answer that right? Or,
well, I mean, that's you know, I'm kind of searching for, you know, is we going to all have to have bigger screens? Are we going to be sharing a screen? I mean, you know, it's a simple thing. I was working a number of years back with a sales organization, and they moved into new space, and their biggest thing they got was the fact that their phones were now all cordless, and they had headsets, so that they never missed a call. I mean, the salesman's worst, the worst thing that can happen to a salesman is he walks away from his desk, and that customer he's been trying to get hold of for 3 months calls back and gets, you know, voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
So they were all excited about technology that allowed them to move around and stay connected to the phones. Now, that's really not current technology, but is there anything along those lines that we're looking at today? I mean, are people using a desk less? Is it more? Because what I see in businesses is there is more emphasis on teamwork than there ever was before. Nobody can work alone. Everything's interdependent.
That is a very true statement. Because, you know, with email, it's so interesting because sometimes, you know, when you send out an email response or a note, it's, you know, you CC certain people on the email thread. Sometimes, you know, they will respond. But it's all about keeping everybody informed because things can change so rapidly. When I was director of real estate for this large technology organization, during my training, I was advised you need to be able to respond to an incoming email within 20 minutes. So that's how I was trained. And if you get 60 to 100 emails, you know, that's a lot to deal with. But they also said when you're CC'd, don't even think about responding. You're just being copied so you can be part of the conversation, but you don't need to input. And that's how I was trained. And so when I get emails, when I'm CC'd, I look at it, I delete it. Where some people, they'll call me the next day and said, well, you were on the email thread. How come you didn't respond? I go, well, you know, you didn't send it to me. You know, it was something that, you know, I was CC'd just to be informed as to the conversation. So I think technology, from that perspective, you know, it's only going to get faster and faster and faster. People expect a response. And if you wait a day or two, they're like, well, you may not be that interested to do this project for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that the trend in offices, I'm thinking of larger companies now, mm-hmm. is more, you know, for a while, the office design focus was to create a self-contained environment so the employee could come to work in the morning, they could get their breakfast out of the vending machine, they could work at their desk, they could have their lunch in the company cafeteria, they could, after work, go to the gym in the company gym and never leave. Is that trend still continuing, or is the sort of social networking influence moving away from that? People want to get out of the office as quick as they can.
Well, I think, it depends on which market sector, but if you look at the technology and the creative organization, that's why they are providing all of these amenity types of spaces so that people do hang out and do stay late and not feel like, oh, I'm working overtime, you know, from when they didn't have those amenities. So I think that's definitely, you know, that's for that particular market sector. But if you're in the financial world and let's say you're a bank, you know, I don't think there's a need, you know, to be working after five when the bank closes. But it's really, you know, it's these creative and technology driven organizations that are creating this type of an environment. So if you're there in your office, you have a place to go eat, you have a place to go work out. And if you're there till midnight and then you come back the next day, it's not like, oh, my God, and you tell all your, you know, your colleagues, oh my God, I've been working all this overtime. No, that's now the norm and almost expected.
I don't know that I like that answer, but I'll believe it.
I don't like it either. But
I don't like the social ramifications of the fact that we're going to. What happened to the 4-hour work week?
Yeah, you know? I know. Right. Well, and, you know, when you look into to Europe, you know, there and this happened 20 years ago, but they where they started, you know, to reduce the work week from 40 hours to 32. And the whole idea was behind it was to give other people opportunities to work. But that concept really wasn't really well thought through because, you know, I fortunately happen to have worked in Europe, so I fully understand. But it's, you know, it's a different mindset.
Okay, let me take a little left turn here on you for a minute. You're in charge. Okay, we'll go right. You're in charge of interior design. What does interior design mean? I mean, you pick out the pillows and the fabric for the couch? I mean,
not really, because no, I wish it were that simple. That's at the tail end. But it's really when we design space for our clients, it's really in response to improve their work environment. It's not that I can come in and show a prospective client all these images of all this great work that we've done, and they'll go, oh, wow, that looks really neat. That's innovative. But it's really, we're almost like, not like a psychiatrist, but we really are really looking at how the organization functions. It's no longer, oh, I will design you a great space or design you a wonderful reception area with seating, and here's, you know, four choices of options for, you know, lounge chairs, sofas. It's really, we are diving into how the organization works.
Okay, so I'm trying to get this clear here. If I'm hiring an architect, he's going to design my building.
Correct.
That's the building footprint, what it looks like. The interior design, if I were to take a narrow definition of it, you're just going to decorate the walls that the architect created. But that's not what I hear you saying whatsoever at all.
No.
Interior design, in your mind, is working on the interior of the building to create the kinds of spaces that are needed for the employees.
Right. Probably 40 years ago, and that was before I even started in this business, that was the role of a interior designer, to select the fabrics, the finishes, the colors, and that was it. They had no intention of understanding how the business was working, how to help improve, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's also about, you know, how do you, by creating this environment, and this is kind of, you know, an item that really doesn't really get discussed a lot, is how do you improve productivity of the employee, and then how do you end up reducing your real estate expense?
Okay.
Those are really, you know, factors that I've dealt with in the past, but, you know, in today's design vocabulary, it's really, you know, we can show you images of, you know, completed work within the professional service industry, the financial service industry, the creative, the technology. But at the end of the day, you know, certain clients say, oh, we like that, we like that. Well, we don't like that. But it's really what we help solve their, you know, issues, and it really goes to the five trends that I'd mentioned before.
So tell me who the ideal customer is that you would like to work with and at what point they should be engaging you?
Ideal client, we will work with any client. It's really no preference as to whether it's a financial institution, a law firm. It's really, it's at, you know, at the end of the day, and this is something that I've learned over the years, it's, you know, making the connection and dealing with the people and the relationships that you can develop.
Okay.
And again, it's, you know, we can develop solutions for any market. And that's maybe a bold statement on my part, but it's really, it's something that I wouldn't say, oh, we just want to do technology or we just want to do creative office space.
Well, let me change the question then, because it was a poorly worded question that you answered perfectly, but I should have said project. What kind of projects are you looking for? You only want to do ground up new buildings? You want to do remodels? You only want to do 1 million square feet of repurposed shopping centers? Right. What are you looking for?
Well, I think, you know, one of the reasons why I joined with eMalcolm is, you know, we are a full service architectural firm, but we're not as strong on the commercial interior side. And I think being able to offer both the architectural, you know, services as well as the commercial interior is a great opportunity for us to, you know, provide a full range of services. And, you know, I've done projects from, you know, 1,000 square feet to 4 million square feet. And again, it's still a process of from when you start to finish. So again, ideally, you know, the market in Los Angeles or here in Southern Cal, typical kind of commercial interior projects are, you know, the majority are between like 5 to 10,000 square feet. Since you don't have large corporate offices in Southern Cal. So I think that's really a great, you know, a range of projects. But again, if a client were to come and say, if we've done 1 million square feet, I can give them case studies of projects that have been, you know, up to 4 million square feet. You know, so it's that's kind of, I think, here in Southern Cal, 5 to 10 seems to be kind of the norm.
How do you work if you're doing? I mean, we've talked about commercial, but I know you also do residential interiors.
Correct. And one of the reasons, you know, one of the opportunities for us at With eMalcolm, and historically, when developers come to us, we, you know, they ask us to propose and design multifamily type of houses that are either market, affordable, senior, and that could have up, you know, from 150 or maybe as small as 40 units to 400 units. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've always worked with the developers. They've always had a separate interior design entity. And I think by us now really strengthening the interior practice is that we can now offer that service in-house. It saves a lot of coordination headaches. A lot of times when we, you know, once the building goes into construction, there are coordination issues that weren't dealt with, and it just becomes a much more complex process. And that's, you know, and we see that at the tail end. And I think by offering that particular service from a, you know, client perspective, it only adds value versus, you know, detracting value.
Okay. Well, look, we're just about running out of time. So before we sign off, I want to make sure, is there anything else you want to add that you didn't get a chance to that you want to make sure the audience has heard?
Well, I think one thing I do want to mention is last night I hosted an event And that's actually sponsored by IIDA, which is the International Interior Design Association. And each year we have an event called, referred to as Haunt Couture, because we host it typically right before the actual Halloween festivity, which is, I guess, this coming Monday,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's something that I'm really proud of. I'm volunteering for that. It was a great turnout. We had probably about 500, 600 attendees, and it's really an opportunity for not only the professional interior design firms, but also the students to compete in a way that is creative. It's kind of themed, obviously, around the Halloween, you know, it's with costumes. And this year, the theme was Envelope Please from Hollywood to Bollywood. So it was really themed on film genres. And again, it's a well-attended event. It's, you know, this brings kind of the entire Los Angeles design community from the professional side, the student side, the vendor side, the contractor side, all together to kind of, you know, network. So it was a fun event.
Great. Ray, how do people get a hold of you?
Do I provide them with my... Yeah.
Provide them with whatever you want, your website, your email address.
Yeah, we have
your
phone. Website, so what is it? How do we... it's www.withee, Malcolm, malcolm.com. And my personal email or my work email, if you're so inclined, is rimer@withymalcolm.com.
Well, Ray, thank you very much for joining us, taking the time out of your schedule, especially after your long, exhausting night last night. I really appreciate it, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, and enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll have a future opportunity to maybe talk about another topic.
Sounds
that is
great.
So related to commercial interior design. Oh,
okay. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out the archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always looking for interesting people to have on the show. So just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or go to the website. There's a place to sign up for the newsletter or indicate you want to be on the show, and I will follow up and get back to you. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you next week with an exciting discussion about technology. We are having Pat Fusco of Fusco Engineering, and he's going to be talking about everything from virtual reality to drones. And be sure to check in. We'll be back here at 3:00 next Thursday. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.